Welcome to The Grow Show, powered by Steel. The Grow Show is brought to you by Marty Grinder's Grow Group, where we specialize in teaching landscaping companies how to clarify their platform, grow their people, build their processes, and realize profits. Everything we teach is grounded in real experience. Our team is actively involved in the day-to-day operations of Southwest Ohio's Grinder Landscaping Company. New episodes of The Grow Show are released weekly on Wednesdays. Remember to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Now, here's your host, Marty Grinder.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever the case may be. This is Marty Grinder from Grinder Landscaping Company and The Grow Group. Thanks for downloading The Grow Show, powered by Steel. Today, we're going to be talking to Dan Hoard, the voice of the Cincinnati Bengals, and I think you will really enjoy Dan. But first, a reminder, you can get the latest edition of The Grow Show delivered to your phone, tablet, or computer by subscribing wherever you get your podcasts or watch us on YouTube for an enhanced learning experience. The Grow Show is the greatest thing since NFL football. Yes, that's right, folks. NFL football. The season is coming up soon. And as a Bengals fan, I'm sure hoping this is our year. When the Bengals win, I have a great week. When they don't, I seek out various stress-relieving activities that don't involve alcohol. And I am not myself, so there's a great lesson for the Bengals there. And we hope for a great season with the Bengals. Who Day, now on to The Grow Show. With us this week is Dan Hoard, an award-winning sportscaster who is at the top of his game and someone we can all learn from. I'm going to help you get to know Dan, and I'm positive that you will learn some ways to get more done in a week, stay focused, handle tough situations, stay motivated, as well as some insight into a great young leader he's had a chance to watch, Mr. Joe Burrow, the quarterback of the Bengals. But Dan deserves a really good intro, so I want to make sure that I share some things with you about Dan before we bring him on. Dan Hoard is the voice of the Cincinnati Bengals. He is a graduate of the prestigious Syracuse University School of Broadcast Journalism. Other graduates of that program are Mike Tirico, Sean McDonough, Bob Costas, Ian Eagle, and Marv Albert, just to mention a few. Currently, Dan is the only broadcaster to serve as the play-by-play voice of a city's NFL and college football teams, so that's the Bengals and the Cincinnati Bearcats. Dan is a four-time Ohio Sports Caster of the Year winner from the National Sports Media Association. He is a six-time regional Emmy winner for his play-by-play anchoring and reporting. Dan has also worked as an NFL sideline reporter for Fox Sports and hosted the Cincinnati Reds TV pregame show and postgame shows for Fox Sports Ohio. And recently, a super award was bestowed upon Dan. He won the Marty Glickman Award for his leadership in sports media from Syracuse University, which is quite an honor. Please welcome to The Grow Show my friend and frequent golfing buddy, Dan Hoard. Dan, welcome.
Marty, that was quite the intro. Thank you very much. I'm glad I have high ceilings in my family room because my head is swelling and I need the extra space to accommodate my cranium after hearing those nice words. So thank you.
I hear you. I enjoy you completely. It has been a thrill to get to know you. It's been a thrill to play golf with you and get to know you better. You've even been so kind to me to let me talk Bengals football with you when we are on the golf course, and it's just been fun. And I have to fawn over you a little bit more. You may not realize this, but you've been a tremendous inspiration to me. I'm not sure I told you this, but I wanted to be a sportscaster. And I considered going to Ohio University. So when I was a senior in high school, actually it was a junior in 1985, my mom drove me out to Ohio University. And at that time, it was before they straightened out Route 35, Dan, and it was winding roads. And when I got there, I opened up the car door and I puked because I was car sick. And then on the way back, I did the same thing. And I said, that isn't going to work. I did have a little bit of talent for sports casting. I did all my high school basketball games on the radio, WKET. And in 1990, I don't even know if I told you this either, I was an apprentice race caller at River Downs Racecourse. And I got pretty good at that, but it was going to be very hard to make money at that. So I wanted to be you, Dan, but I stuck with landscaping instead. And today in my role as a professional speaker, I guess I try to pretend I'm you when I'm on stage. And then finally, in full confession, I asked you if I could please have your graces to copy your intro from your podcast, the Bengals Booth podcast, my number one favorite podcast that I listen to. And you probably heard when I read the intro here that it was copied from you, and I did get your express written consent. So thank you for everything that you've done for me. You've really been a source of inspiration for me.
Well, you're welcome. And you did the intro well, so kudos. If you're going to copy someone, at least you should do what you're copying well, which you did. And from everything I've heard from students over the years that have gone to Ohio University, you're not the first person to puke on that campus. It has the reputation, particularly on Halloween, for making that happen to students. So I think your career choice turned out well, Marty. I love what I do. And I think you would have been very good at it, but it's not for everyone. You're a family man. If you've enjoyed being with your family on weekends and holidays over the years, that's generally not the case for sports broadcasters. And in terms of making a living, I've been fortunate. I started out making peanuts. I made $1,000 a month as a minor league baseball broadcaster when I started out. Right. But eventually, if you're able to climb the totem pole, you probably make far more than you deserve. But it takes a while for some people, so that's not for everybody.
Well, you've done great, and I was excited to see. I know your son is at Colorado University, and they're in the Big 12, correct? And so is UC. So I know when you went to broadcast their basketball game, and I don't know if you've been there for football yet. I think maybe just basketball. You were able to see your son. That's got to be a big thrill. So it's good that maybe you finally get to combine some family time with your job.
It's funny you should say that, because we are recording this just after the college basketball national championship game.
Yes.
Last year, I watched that game with my son on the University of Colorado campus. That's when we went for our campus visit. So as he watched the game in Colorado this year and I watched the game at home, we reminisced about watching it last year in a hotel room in Boulder, Colorado, and that ultimately became his choice for a college campus, so it's worked out well.
Well, there is a special bond between a father and his son, and the day we're recording this is my son's first day at Grunder Landscaping. He graduated from Miami, went out into the business world for a couple years, and he just started here today, so listening to that, I have a couple chills there, because I'm excited that I get the blessing to work with my son, and we'll see what we can do. So, Dan, I realize you're not an entrepreneur, but you are a very creative individual, and I think there's a lot we can learn from you today on The Grow Show Powered by Steel. I want to ask you, like, tell us about your organizational tactics, the time management that you use. I marvel at how you do what you do. The games and the football game on Saturday, and then got to be in Lambeau Field for a game with the Packers and the Bengals. I don't even know how you do all this. Like, how do you stay within the sleep clock, the time management, the organizational skills? I'd love to know what you do there.
Well, I don't do so well on the sleep clock. But the time management is a very important part of my job, and it really became particularly critical when I started doing University of Cincinnati football games on Saturdays and Bengals games on Sundays, because I'm basically preparing for two final exams every week.
Right.
And
right.
I have to try to become the world's foremost authority on the Bearcats opponent every Saturday and the Bengals opponent every Sunday. So it took me a little while to figure out how to organize my week in order to be prepared. And I find that I'm calm and confident when I'm prepared. I think it's like getting back to the analogy of taking an exam. When you're a student, if you put in the work, didn't you feel confident when you sat down to take the test?
Yes.
So that's exactly what it's like for me in my job. So I have a very strict routine that I follow during the football season. And again, I find that if I follow that routine, then I get to the weekend confident, because I know that I'm prepared to do the job as well as I possibly can. So on Monday, I become, again, somewhat jokingly, the world's foremost authority on the Bengals opponent for the upcoming week. And that includes watching at least one of their previous games on TV, usually the most recent game, reading everything I can, and then preparing what's known as a spotter's board for that game. So I have an example nearby. I'll show you what this looks like.
Okay.
So the Bengals' final game this year was against the Steelers. This is what my Steelers spotting board looked like the Sunday of that game. All right. So this.
I see.
This is the Steelers offense. You've got every player. They're kind of lined up where they're positioned. And then you have in multicolored pens all these tiny notes that I write to myself.
So that makes a lot of sense.
That's the offense.
Because I wonder where you come up with all this stuff when you need it.
So that's the offense. On the flip side, you have the defense. So I have.
That has to take hours to fill that out. That's not a 5-minute deal.
That's basically all day and night every Monday preparing for the Bengals opponent. Now, all of this information that I've scribbled down, maybe 5% gets used during the game.
Right.
But the thing is, you never know what 5%. You never know which one of these guys is going to play a significant role. And if you have some sort of interesting bit of information or nugget that resonates with the listener, it's a great feeling that you've done the work to be in position to make that happen. So as you can see, this is Russell Wilson, the quarterback. He's got a big box with a lot of information.
Right.
This is the backup offensive lineman with very little.
It's small box.
So, you know, you're increasing your chances of which guy you're going to use all that information about. So that's what I do on Monday. I prepare that every week for the Bengals opponent. And then on Tuesday, I've got a thing that looks exactly the same way for the University of Cincinnati opponent. So if I've got that work done Monday day and night, Tuesday day and night, now I still have Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday to continue to add information as the week goes along. Plus, I've got duties during the week, and they tend to pick up as the week goes along. So I've got a lot of time available on Monday and Tuesday. But on Wednesday, I do a 2-hour Bengals show. On Friday, I do a 3-hour Bengals show. There are podcasts to do. There are other responsibilities on the websites for both entities. So again, Monday and Tuesday have become the key days for me to get the bulk of that preparation done. And if that's the case, and I continue to add a little here and there as the week goes along, then by the time I get to Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, where I am traveling, doing the games, then I'm in a good space to know that I have done the homework. I'm confident, I'm calm, and I'm good to go.
Yeah. And all that preparation, we have a saying we use here at the Grow Group that I got from one of my mentors in the late 90s, Dan, and he said that all planning is good. And the mindset there is that the more time you spend planning, the more control you have over the outcomes. Now, there may be something crazy happen, like the night Damar Hamlin had the heart attack on the field from getting hit in the chest. I mean, I'm sure you had no script to handle that. I mean, there's just things that happen to you. And in our business, it's snow removal, it's the rain, it's three guys didn't show up. I think listeners here today on the Grow Show, what you need to take away from what Dan's doing, Dan, what, 4 total hours probably on the radio, I guess, if you do the pregame and the postgame for the most part, maybe a little more than 4 hours?
For a football game, probably a little more than that. The Bengals pregame show is an hour and a half. The University of Cincinnati show is an hour. The games are typically 3 to 3.5 hours, and then you've got a postgame show.
Right.
So a football game is a little longer than that, and a basketball game is a little shorter than that.
Yeah. But still hours of preparation to make sure that you do that. How do you stay motivated? Like it sure seems to me like you like your job, and I doubt you'd come on here and say you don't like it, but we all, you know, we all have elements of our job that we don't enjoy, but I think we push on through that for the why. What's your why there? How do you stay revved up for this? Is it Sam? Is it your wife? What keeps you motivated?
So there really aren't things in my job that I don't like. So I'm very lucky that way.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Marty, I knew from birth that I wanted to be a sports broadcaster, and that is only a slight exaggeration. I make the joke that the doctor pulled me out of my mother's womb, slapped me on the behind, and I said, that's 15 yards for unnecessary roughness. So I was so lucky to know that this was what I wanted to do. And honestly, I don't really know why. My father was an upholsterer. Okay. My stepfather, who raised me from the age of 8, was a wholesale florist. So it's not like I'm the son of a broadcaster. but I always loved sports and I'm a little bit of a ham. You know, I acted in school plays and things like that.
You're funny as heck.
So this was the combination of those two loves, a little bit of an entertainer and a love of sports. And I found the right job for me. And getting back to my father, the upholsterer, I worked for him one summer. And my job that summer, along with another college-age kid, was to remove car seats from cars so that the upholstery could be changed. And you learn a couple of things. Number one, two things can be found under any car seat, whether it's just being driven off the lot or whether the person has owned it for 20 years, spare change and something disgusting. That's under every car seat ever. But doing that job that summer, car seats are very heavy. You're removing them in a confined space. So you're hunched over. And at the end of the day, your back is killing you. You can't wait for the job to be finished. And it was a great lesson for me because it reinforced the notion that you need to try to find something that you enjoy. You're going to spend approximately one third of your working life, probably a little bit more on the job. Right. So if you can find something that you love, then that motivation comes easy. So I enjoy the homework. I enjoy trying to get ready to do the best job that I possibly can every week.
Well, it shows. It shows in listening to you and the conversations I've had with you in person, the fun I've had playing golf with you, talking about the sports, it shows. The other thing when I was thinking about lessons that we could learn from you, having tough conversations is another thing our listeners struggle with. You know, the owners and leaders of landscaping companies, if they're well run, they have to provide constructive criticism. They may have to terminate someone. When you run a business, I'm sure you've experienced this in your career as well. There's times you have to have tough conversations. I have heard you interviewing athletes that are, you know, they're born and bred here to do this stuff, and they just lost a game. Maybe it was a last second shot. The locker room's quiet, you know, tough situation. That's hard, but you're very good at it. What tips do you have for us for having tough conversations?
You know, it's something that you're right. It can be very difficult going into the locker room after a heartbreaking loss and asking players and coaches about it when you are the last person in the world that they want to talk to. I thought of it from that NCAA championship game, just imagining what it would be like to go into that locker room and try to talk to the Houston players and coaches. It's tough. So a couple of things come to mind. You know, in my case, I'm trying to think about what my audience wants to know. What questions would they ask if they were in the position to talk to these guys? And I try to do it in a tactful way, not a confrontational way. And so I think that's a real important thing. You've got to be honest. The players know what you're there to do. But if you can do it tactfully and not confrontationally, I think that that's helpful. I think the other thing in my case that's helped me is that I try to build relationships with all of these players and coaches.
I was just going to say.
Yeah. Yes, so when you're in that position, they know where you're coming from. You've developed a level of respect and trust, and that makes it easier to ask those tough questions. And I think that's probably true in any walk of life. The other thing that, you know, I've tried to do over the years is to make it clear to them, not necessarily in those moments, but in our everyday interactions, how much respect I have for what they do. If you think of an NFL player, these guys are the absolute creme de la creme of their profession. You know, it's a tiny portion of all of us who have ever picked up a football that make it to that level. And it's true to a lesser extent for college football and basketball players. You know, even if you are the worst player on a Division I college basketball team, you're still infinitely better than I ever dreamed of being. So I try to make it clear to them how much respect I have for what they do. And then when you get to be in those moments where you have to ask a question or be in a position that's a little bit uncomfortable, I think it's easier to do because you've established that trust and that respect.
Folks listening to Dan Hoard, the play-by-play man for the Cincinnati Bengals and the Cincinnati Bearcats today on The Gross Show, powered by Steel, he's laying down some leadership gold right there. being tactful, being honest, developing relationships, you know, with your team's folks, if all they remember you for is yelling at them, that's going to be very difficult to get anywhere. I think it was Mike Hilton, I heard you, who's a cornerback for the Bengals that doesn't look like they're maybe going to re-sign. But I think I recall you having a pretty tough conversation with him, and you could tell he respected you just by the way he was responding to the question. So that stuff that you're talking about there in the locker room, Dan, that's what a leader does in any walk of life. I'm sure you've had to have some tough conversations with your son. It, you know, your son can't see you, and every time he sees you, going to hear some, you know, crazy question or some nasty thing to say. And I'm sure that's why the interviews you do well, or the men in the Bengals locker room, that's the one I'm most familiar with, respect you because of the rapport that you've built with them. I think there's a great lesson there that applies to business.
I think that's true. And I also think that how you conduct yourself in your everyday interactions, in my case with players and coaches, makes a difference.
Yes.
So, you know, I do plenty of interviews that are not immediately after a tough loss. There are ones that are after, you know, thrilling wins, and also during the course of the week. And I think they respect the preparation that I've done going into those interviews, especially some of the more in-depth stuff during the course of the week. So again, I think how a leader conducts himself on an everyday basis pays off when you get to those confrontational moments.
And I realize not everyone listening today on the Grow Show is a football fan, but I think in the show notes, I'll try to put that interview that you had with James Casey, because I think it's the best one you've ever done. You went pretty deep with him and some things he overcame. It's just it's an amazing story. And I'm sure he's very fond of you because you had to do some digging to figure out what that was all about to go in there and ask him those questions. Maybe we'll tie that one. And for those that are interested, they can listen to him. The other thing that when I listen to you, that it's something I have to work on. I talk too much. You don't talk too much. Like how did you train yourself to not go crazy on a play or to let the thing develop? And you're on the radio. So for me, I'm watching the game on TV and I'm listening to you on the radio. I finally have figured out how to sync it up because that's what I want to do. I just prefer to listen to you. But how did you learn not to talk too much? As leaders, I think we constantly are trying to insert ourselves and we don't realize it. And I think we're actually doing damage by talking too much. Am I making sense?
Sure. I mean, part of it is I work with a partner on any game that I broadcast. It's Dave Lapham on Bengals games.
Right.
It's Terry Nelson on UC basketball. It's Jim Kelly Jr. on UC football. So part of my job is trying to help make them shine. I'm trying to interact with them in an entertaining and informative way. So I don't want to gobble all of the airtime and not allow them to do their thing. So that's part of it. And then also when it comes to interviewing, I was taught that short, direct questions are better than rambling on and on. So I listen to a lot of podcasts. I appreciate you saying kind things about mine. I think one thing that may stand out is that I tend to ask short, direct questions. I do not like listening to podcasts where the questions are 10 times as long as the answers. I'm bringing these guests on to hear from them. So I don't necessarily want to blabber on at length about my thoughts about them or the subject. I want to allow them to speak their mind or share their experiences. So that gets back to what I was taught at Syracuse University. And I don't always succeed on that score. Sometimes I will blabber too much, particularly when broadcasting a game. But I'm trying to help my partner shine as well. And I'm trying to allow my guests in an interview to be the star.
You're helping me. You're going to help me make the Grow Show better. I'll put in the show notes. I just snapped a picture of us because I had my sign artist make a sign that goes across the top of my monitor and it says the guest is the star. Because when I've watched replays of what I'm doing, I've realized that I've talked too much. And I'm sharing this with everyone. And I wanted Dan to talk about this because I think from a leader, sometimes we need to let our teams shine. We overshadow them. And we don't mean to do it, but the unintended consequence of that is we're not building people up. We're actually pulling them down. And in your case, it's the experience of the fan, of your customer, that we want to have a great experience. And by being aware of that, that's why you're so good. That really helped me. Thank you. Let's talk leadership. You've been around a ton of great leaders. We could probably talk for hours about this. And I have to imagine you've been around some bad leaders too. What makes a good leader? What shouldn't a leader do? What have you learned in your role as a broadcaster with regards to leadership?
I think a few things stand out to me. I think one of the most important is that good leaders communicate clearly and consistently. They're not wishy-washy. They don't say one thing on Monday and something completely different on Tuesday. They articulate what's expected of their people. They maintain that standard. And, you know, they also articulate clearly what isn't allowed. So I think those communication skills are vital for any great leader. I think they're caring. What's the old saying? People don't care how much you know unless they know how much you care. I think that's really true of leaders. And that's not saying that it's a buddy-buddy relationship. It doesn't have to be like that. But I do think good leaders show a level of caring for the success of the people that they work with, or in the case of sports, the people that play for them. And I think taking accountability is absolutely critical. I think you point the thumb at yourself before you point a finger at somebody else. I think we see that in sports all the time. Coaches and players that are constantly throwing others under the bus ultimately are never successful. It's the ones that take accountability and the players also that take accountability for their actions. I think that shows great leadership to their teammates. So those are a few of the things that I think have to be present in any great leader.
Those are fantastic. And I want to segue into Joe Burrow, because when I think of those attributes that you said, Michael Jordan was a guard that the Bengals drafted out of Ohio State. I may be wrong here, but from when I've watched the replay, he's the guy that missed the block that Joe Burrow got decked on, tore his ACL. I never heard Joe Burrow throw him under the bus. He had a pathetic line in the Super Bowl, and he never threw them under the bus. Anytime when there's been something in the game, I've never heard him say, so-and-so wasn't open, I got to be better. Good leader, Dan. But when I was in my 20s, I didn't know what I was doing. It was all about me. I threw people under the bus. And because I was in business and my profits weren't very good, you start to adjust and you figure out what to do right to make money. I think Joe Burrow's a tremendous leader. I have a very hard time comprehending that the way he acts, he's in his 20s. What have you seen from him that makes him a great leader? Because you've had a chance to watch him and get to know him a little bit.
I have. So accountability is part of it. You're dead on when you say that. He will always start any sort of, you know, post-game discussion with, I did this wrong, before he would ever talk about anybody else. Right. So that's a big part of it. I think the biggest thing, honestly, is his work ethic and preparation. Those guys know there's nobody in the building that works harder than he does 12 months out of the year. So they know his off-season preparation is as good as anybody in the league. They know during the season that he's in the playbook, that he is completely invested every day in trying to be the best person he can possibly be, the best quarterback he can be. So that is the classic lead by example scenario, which, you know, I think all of us recognize in Joe Burrow. And then the other thing I would say about him that's really maybe unique among a lot of the players that I've seen over the years is just how well he connects with everybody. So an NFL locker room.
Right.
Yeah, that's what NFL I see. Locker room right. is the ultimate melting pot. You've got 69 players and you've got 34-year-old married fathers of three and 21-year-old guys just out of college. You've obviously have white, black, city, country, very different backgrounds, very different interests. And Joe not only connects with these guys, but he makes a point of developing relationships with these guys. So if you are in the Bengals cafeteria, chances are he's sitting with different people on a regular basis. We hear stories all the time about newcomers that join the team, and they're looking forward to meeting Joe, or maybe a little bit starstruck in some cases about meeting Joe. And he's the guy that approaches them, knows them by name, knows a little bit about their background already, even before they meet for that first time. He's the guy that texts the free agents and the draft picks to introduce himself. So between his work ethic and his ability to connect with all of his teammates, I think that makes him a very unique leader. And the Bengals are lucky to have him, obviously.
Yeah, and he seems like a really nice person. If you said, who would you like to meet in life? He's probably one of the top five people I'd love to meet. I got a man crush on the guy. I'm fascinated with how he conducts himself. I want him to do well, and I'm glad he's our quarterback. You know, folks, as you're listening to all this, my business, when I started, it was myself and my brother and a couple friends. We now have 140 members on our team, two offices, one in Dayton and Cincinnati. You can't be in all places at all times. As I'm listening to you, Dan, I'm thinking of ways that I can connect better. Why can't I reach out to brand new people? And we do it to a degree, but you know, there's probably a similar parallel there, although I'm not an NFL quarterback. There's still people that might be intimidated to talk to me, and what a difference that could make. I'm sure when you go into the press box, there's various hourly workers that help you. I'm going to bet you and Dave Lappin go out of the way to say hello to. And, you know, that's called being a good person. That's called being a good leader. You know, and as I listen to that, I'm reminded one of my favorite books, Dan, is Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People. And that book is one of the main principles in it is that if you take an interest in others, they take an interest in you. And just seems like Joe Burrow embraces
that. No doubt
that.
About it. And even something as simple as knowing somebody's name, I think is so important. And I try to be good at that. I don't always succeed. But right. If you can know the name of everybody that you come in contact with at work, I think that is a superpower. Yes. If you have that ability. So,
yes.
You know, putting a little effort into that, I think is very worthwhile for anybody in a position like the one you're in or anybody trying to operate a small business.
Right.
If you can know everybody's name and maybe a little bit of something about them, make the effort to know a little bit about them. I think that's really, really helpful.
So just a few more minutes here on The Grow Show, powered by Steel with Dan Hoard, the voice of the Cincinnati Bengals and the Cincinnati Bearcats. Dan, I have a very good friend who played professional baseball. He's told me time and time again that the biggest difference between a player that makes it to the big leagues and one that doesn't is the mental side of the game. Do you agree with that? You and I aren't athletes. The folks listening, most of us aren't professional athletes. But it sure seems like a lot of your success, my success, is mental, staying focused during the work, being a professional. How can people use those tactics to win in business? Is the mental side important?
Well, the baseball analogy is a good one because I don't think there's any sport where that plays a bigger role. Every hitter has slumps. Right. Do you let it crush you or do you do what's necessary to get out of it and bounce back? And that's what the great baseball players do. There's stress in every job. There's anxiety in every job. I think that's perfectly normal. It's certainly the case in mine. I tell people that the thing that makes me nervous is when I'm doing something that I've never done before. So if I'm doing a Bengals game on a Sunday, that doesn't really make me nervous. But if I get a random phone call to do some sporting event or something that I haven't done before, then that first time I am anxious and nervous. And that's normal. So I think the first thing is embrace the fact that those butterflies are normal and then do what's necessary to put yourself in the proper mental space to do a good job. It gets back to what we were saying at the very beginning, Marty. For me, it's the preparation. It's following the routine.
Yes.
It's being disciplined.
Yes.
To know that I am prepared, then that stress, that anxiety goes away. So there is a huge mental component, but I do think you control that with your actions on a daily basis.
No, it makes so much sense. And I can't believe I've never asked you this before, but when I was preparing for this myself, do you think of these lines ahead of time that you have?
Burrow catches a shotgun snap, drops back, guns it into the end zone,
baby,
into a thicket,
baby, yes,
where it's caught,
yes,
for the touchdown!
Yes. Nice.
C.J. Uzomah in the middle of defenders, hauling in that line drive throw from Joe Burrow. Fourth down and goal from the 9. 17 seconds to go. The play clock at 3. Shotgun snap. Carr throws into traffic. Intercepted. Jermaine Pratt has the football. Coffin nails.
Bam, bam, bam. How about that?
Joe Burrow takes the snap. He takes a knee. And after 31 years, the drought is over. And guess what? The Joe Burrow era is just beginning. Third down and goal from the 1. Huntley sticks the ball out. The Bengals have the ball.
Baby.
They are running it back. Sam Hubbard with blockers behind him. Hubbard to the Ravens 40.
Nice.
The 30.
Nice.
The 20.
Yeah.
The 10. The
Woo.
5. Touchdown.
How about it?
Bengals.
Woo.
Tyler Huntley tried to extend the ball over the goal line. It got poked away. Sam Hubbard scooped it up and ran the length of the field for a go-ahead Bengals touchdown.
You've got some incredible calls. Does that just come out of you, or do you ahead of time think, okay, if Mike Gesicki has an 80-yard touchdown catch, that's pretty long pass play for him, I'm going to say this, that he's from Long Island, and he's not from Long Island. But where does this stuff come from?
So what I would say in describing the play-by-play is that that's all an ad lib. I don't think you can say in advance, all right, if this guy begins streaking down the field, I am going to say that certain thing. Now, there are some instances where you kind of develop a catchphrase, so to speak. You may recall that when A.J. Green played for the Bengals, if he had a big touchdown, I would punctuate it by saying,
touchdown, Adriel Jeremiah Green.
His full name, Adriel Jeremiah Green. And the story behind that, Marty, is that when the Bengals hired me in 2011, I was still broadcasting minor league baseball at that point for the Pawtucket Red Sox. And they hired me in May. And I didn't want to leave Pawtucket in the lurch and leave the team in the middle of the season. So I okayed it with both sides that I would finish out the minor league season and then go to work for the Bengals. The only exception to that were the preseason games. I was going to have to miss a few Pawtucket games to broadcast the Bengals four preseason games. So I was not at training camp. I was doing my prep work from a distance while broadcasting minor league baseball. So A.J. Green was a rookie. Andy Dalton was a rookie. I didn't get to know them personally until I moved to Cincinnati the regular season. But for the Bengals' first preseason game that year, I flew from Pawtucket, Rhode Island to Cincinnati to meet the team. And then I traveled with the team to Detroit for this first preseason game. So I saw A.J. Green outside the team buses, and I thought, well, this is a good opportunity to introduce myself, make a little small talk, begin developing a relationship with him. So I told him who I was, what I was doing, and then just as part of the small talk, I said, what does A.J. stand for? Because I had not seen that in my the prep work that I had done leading up to that first preseason game. So he said, Adriel Jeremiah. And I thought to myself, man, that name almost sounds biblical to me.
Yeah.
It's magnificent. There's something about it. So that's where the idea came from, to use it on his big plays or his touchdown catches. And so that's an incident where, or a case where, there is something that you have in mind before it happens. But by and large, you're just reacting to what you see, trying to be as descriptive as you can be, as entertaining as you can be. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But I don't think you can plan that stuff out in advance.
Yeah, and I figured that. But boy, you are talented. I mean, to be able to come up with that in the heat of the moment like that, it's fantastic. All right. The question that maybe many have been waiting for, how are our beloved Bengals going to be this year? What are you seeing?
Well, a year ago at this time, I would have said that if Joe Burrow stays healthy, the Bengals will be a Super Bowl contender. He stayed healthy last year and they didn't make the playoffs. So I was wrong. I still think that statement rings true. I think if Joe Burrow stays healthy this year, they will be a Super Bowl contender. Obviously, the thing that has to happen is that their defense has to be much better. It can't be any worse. So it's bound to be better. The only question is how much better. I'm cautiously optimistic that it's going to be significantly better. I think hiring Al Golden as their new defensive coordinator is going to make a significant difference. Amen. He's got a proven track record of working with young players. And I think that's going to be necessary going forward with the Bengals, considering how much they're spending on Burrow, Chase, and Higgins. The defense is going to have to be younger and cheaper. But with the draft coming up in about 2.5 weeks, they're going to have to add some significant talent on the defensive side of the ball. And I think that they will. From every draft guru that I've talked to, and I've talked to a bunch, they say it's a great year to add defensive and offensive linemen. Those are probably the two areas that the Bengals need to strengthen the most. So I think they're going to get some impact players in the draft this year.
Well, Dan, it has been great to have you on the Grow Show. I'm grateful for your time. You're such a talent. And quite frankly, you're a big stress reliever for me. I love listening to you no matter how tough my week was on mostly Sundays when I go to listen to my Bengals. I just love it. I love the pregame. I'm glad to call you a friend, and I wish you the best of luck this year with all your endeavors.
Thanks for having me on. Thank you for your friendship. Thank you for the kind words. You were effusive in your praise, and I appreciate it. And I look forward to teeing it up sometime soon.
Well, we'll do that. All right, folks, that's going to do it for this week's edition of The Grow Show, powered by Steel. If you haven't done so already, subscribe to The Grow Show. And if you can, give it a rating or share a comment. That helps more success-minded landscape professionals find us. And if you really want to help us, share this episode with your team or any landscape pro you know. Thanks for joining us today on The Grow Show, powered by Steel. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Grow Show. A special thanks to the folks at Steel, whose support makes this podcast possible and whose outdoor power equipment makes our jobs easier every day. Did you know that you can tour Marty's Landscaping Company? We're hosting 4 Grunder Landscaping Company field trips in 2025. Where landscape pros can come see our operation for themselves in a small group setting. Meet the GLC leadership team, ask Marty your questions in person, and connect with other landscape pros. Space is limited. Visit growgroupinc.com today to sign up.